so true. I looked in so many places and sought after so many different things to fill the void that was in my life when I was out in sin. And absolutely nothing has filled it like His blessings and His grace and His love. I didn't think I would be where I am. I thought I'd be in jail or dead. But He got a hold of me and sat down on me, made me listen. He grabbed me by the ear, grabbed me by the heart, put me exactly where He wanted me, because now I have so many blessings to thank Him for. I could not begin to start. So giving Him the gift He gave me back is the least I can do for Him. Church house would be absolutely full of shouters and people praising God and praising His name. And he'd start singing this song, and the whole congregation would just stop and get into it and feel the story in this song. I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was heavy laden, his strength was almost gone, but he shouted as he journeyed. I'm glad to know that I have somebody living in me that keeps me from doing the things that my flesh would want to do. And so proud that I'm not the man that I once was before. And the people that I used to have nothing for, absolutely love. And I love this church. It's the first day that we came in here. There was nothing but love and fellowship and friendship and friendships that have grown and people that I love more and more every day. So very glad for him putting me where he wanted me to be.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. And we're in chapter 15 today. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. While you're finding your place in your Bible, let me mention that we will not have evening services here at Emory Heights this evening. Will not have evening services. This week is Bible school week, and we will not have prayer meeting and Bible study on Wednesday night. A lot of people will be involved in Bible school, and I hope to get involved some. And I hope you'll be mindful of your responsibilities to the Lord, and you'll find your place in God's service. All right, Luke chapter 15. Could I say I'm very grateful for you being here, and we don't want you to feel unwelcome. We want you to feel very welcome today, and the Lord has brought us together again. There's a purpose for us being here, and I hope you can really enjoy today in a day of fellowship and a time of listen to what God would say to us. In Luke chapter 15, in verse number 11, I'm reading a very familiar passage of the Word of God. I preached on it numerous times, and I'm sure you've heard it preached on numerous times. But I just want to look at this today and look at it in a direction that I hope the Lord can speak to our hearts. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus said. And of course, this has been called the parable of the prodigal son. But in reality, Luke 15 is one parable in three divisions. It has to do with the lost piece of silver and the lost son. What was the other? I've done forgot. Didn't review. Okay, thank you. I don't know what you said. That's good. We're going to deal with the lost son. I ain't plumb out on a limb yet. Amen. I know where I'm going. And so we'll be all right. Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother's come. Thy father hath killed for him the fat calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering him said, his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the day today. You have certainly been very gracious to us, very merciful to us, allowed us to be in this good service today, to fellowship together, to enjoy the good singing, and just to know today that all is well with our soul. I thank you for the privilege to preach on the prodigal son. I thank you, Lord, that the gospel is good news. There's so much bad news in the world today, and it does grieve us at the many, many things that are happening in this troubled world. But I'm so grateful today that you are still on our on your throne, and that you're still God, and that you're still our Savior, and that you love us, and that you're still in control. Now I pray today that you'd speak to our heart. I pray that if there's one that has gotten out of fellowship with the Lord, they've let things come into their life that has broken their fellowship with God, I pray this would be the day that you'd speak to them and draw them to an altar of repentance. I pray for that soul that knows not Jesus. Would you speak to them? Would they see their need of Christ? Would you please draw them and help them to come forward this morning and receive the Lord Jesus? Now help us, I pray, and I'll be grateful for it. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I think about homecoming. Homecoming. I think the idea behind this word was a day when people that were raised in the church and community, and they moved away, and this was a time given them to come back to their church, to come back home, and enjoy a time of fellowship. And of course, most of the time, and like it is here, you could enjoy one of the best meals that you'd ever enjoy this side of heaven. I like homecoming. Some folks say they don't like homecoming. That's your privilege. I'm not to fuss at you. I'm just telling you, I do enjoy homecoming time. I remember coming here for homecoming about 23, 24 years ago. I had came and tried out for pastor for one service previous to the homecoming. And Brother Clyde McNew, who is now going to be with the Lord, said, why don't we just get Brother Wayne to come back and preach at homecoming. And I preached that Sunday morning, the first homecoming that I preached at Emory Heights. Not your pastor, but visiting. I preached that Sunday morning on seven wonders of heaven. I'm glad there's a real heaven. I wonder about a lot of things about it. I tell you, it's a wonder to me that people are privileged to go there at the cost of nothing. Amen. I mean, isn't it expensive to get into any amusement park? Isn't it expensive anymore just get into one of the kids' ball games? Isn't it expensive? But I'm telling you, God made heaven and opened up the doors of heaven and said, whosoever will, let him come freely and enjoy what God has to offer. You say, what's that got to do with your scripture today? Well, I'm talking about homecoming a few minutes, and then we're going to look at this passage of the Word of God. As a youngster, I was very bashful. I've shared that numerous times. But I tell you what I would do. I'd manage to get to the table on homecoming Sunday and get me some good food. I don't remember that much about a lot of the food, but I remember this. My mother was a great cook, a wonderful cook. If you ever ate at my mother's table, you know that. And many of you can remember that, I'm sure. But as far as I know, I never knew of my mother baking or making. In all of her life, I never knew of her making or baking a German chocolate cake. But it was my delight on homecoming day to find Mary-Kate Schubert's German chocolate cake. My, I thought that's the best stuff that I have ever eaten in my life. And I want to tell you what I think today. I think German chocolate cake is just about the best stuff that I've ever eaten in my life. But I remember homecoming in those days as a child at Swan Pond Baptist Church. My, those days were great days. My, they had a wonderful fellowship. They have good singers come in. They'd sing and shout the praises of God. I remember those days. My, isn't it good to be here at Emory Heights this morning on homecoming day? Praise God. Good singing. I hope some good preaching. And I assure you some of the best grub that you've ever eaten this side of heaven. Amen. I read these scriptures this morning and I think about home and homecoming. I want to preach just real briefly, if the Lord will help us, and I think He will. I want to talk about what the prodigal found when he got back home. Amen. Oh, yeah, I tell you, it was a great thing for this young man to just make it back home. Could I say, I believe one of the greatest things that the prodigal found when he got back home was forgiveness. Amen. I'm glad today to know my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. There's peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Could I ask you this morning, do you really know that your sins are forgiven? Do you have real, genuine peace in the depth of your soul today to know, hallelujah, your sins are gone? I mean, gone, praise God, washed away by the precious blood of the Lamb. Let me talk about forgiveness a little while. First of all, I mentioned the author of forgiveness. You know, I reckon everything has a builder, an author, a maker, whatever. And I say today that the God of heaven is the author of forgiveness. Ephesians 4, verse 32 said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God is the author of forgiveness. Amen. I think about the channel of forgiveness. You know, I tell you, there's a channel for the water flow, and there's a channel for the water of life today. That's right. I remember when I lived down here at the parsonage at the Swan Pond Baptist Church. My, we had some good drinking water. We had a well pump, but we didn't have a well. And the purpose of that well pump was to pull that water from the line to get it to the church and into the parsonage. But that water came from down here. What is this, Park Springs? Is that what that's called right down here in the holler below us? Well, I wasn't raised here. Is that right, Park Springs? And, of course, there was a line that run down by Swan Pond Church plumb into Kingston. I don't know how many homes that line supplied, but we was connected to that spring water. Amen. I tell you, that, and it came from up here, but it got down there. There was a way, neighbor. There was a channel that this water flowed through to get it to where it was at. I'm telling you, praise God. God had forgiveness, but there had to be a channel for that forgiveness to get from Him to you and I. I'm glad the Lord's that channel today. Amen. That makes sense to you, don't it? Aren't you glad there is a way that God can get forgiveness to you? Oh, don't mean to be critical. Could I tell you, it's not in the Pope. It's not in the priest. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the church. But it's in the Savior, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the channel from which this wonderful forgiveness flows today. Can I say this doctrine of forgiveness has a wonderful foundation? The foundation is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Modern religion don't like to talk about the blood of Christ. You need to be careful, very careful, in your Christian life, what you associate with and what you disassociate with. I'm not being critical, but I do know this. I was told several years ago, I might as well say the word. The United Methodist Church were revising their song books. And in the revision of their song books, they come to the conclusion they need to remove a lot of the songs that had to do with the blood of Christ. I'm going to tell you, friend, that's serious matter to me. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you have the shed blood of the Lamb. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I'm telling you, our forgiveness does not rest upon the stability of this church. Our forgiveness does not rest upon the stability of some person. Our forgiveness absolutely rests upon a solid foundation, and that foundation is the blood of Christ that flowed so freely that you and I might enjoy forgiveness so freely today. Hallelujah. That's right. It has a wonderful foundation. When that boy got home, he found forgiveness. The daddy didn't scold him, didn't rake him over the coals, but he simply loved him and forgave him of all of the failure and all the waste and all the wrongdoing, neighbor. That was loving kindness, grace, and forgiveness that was bestowed upon his life. Amen. That's right. Let's think about the completeness of this forgiveness. Did you know there's a lot of people that have been saved, washed in the blood, and they allow Satan to drag them through a past life? Well, I'm going to tell you, we ought to be sorry for our sins. I believe sin is a terrible thing. It's against God. But can I say today that there is complete forgiveness to those that will come back home to the Lord? For those that have wasted a life, for those that are full of misgivings, for those that went the wrong direction, for those that made some bad choices, could I say today, thank God, forgiveness is complete, because God's promise is that it's complete. Amen. Psalms 103, verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, let's talk about the proclamation of this wonderful message of forgiveness. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived among men, lived a spotless life, by the way. No sin, no guile. Nothing about him off. The perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God. But oh, friend, he gave his life that we might have life. Very immediately after he gave up the ghost, two secret disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, came and begged the body of Jesus Christ. And they placed it in a borrowed tomb, Joseph's all-new tomb, hewn out in the stone. But as our Lord had promised, on that third day, praise God, he removed the napkin from his face and got up out of that tomb. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs for 40 days. Then he ascended back to heaven. But before his ascension, the Lord gave a great commission. And in Luke 24, verses 46, 47, and 48. Luke 24, 46, 47, 48. Here's what he said to those disciples as he appeared to them after his resurrection, before he ascended back to the Father. In verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. You know what we ought to be proclaiming today? We ought to be proclaiming the good news that Christ forgives sin. Amen. There's a troubled world out here today. I see people every day. In fact, I saw a young lady that used to be in her Children in Arowana program, and she was associated with this church. Some I saw her yesterday. I said, are you going to church anywhere? She said, no. I said, you need to come back to Emory Heights. I tell you, I'm glad there's a message that God forgives people. God cleanses people. Oh, friend, forgiveness is a wonderful truth. It's obtained by faith. Believe God that he did shed his blood for you. It's obtained by confession. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I'm glad he found forgiveness, aren't you? Second thing he found when he got back home, he found some good food. Now, I want you to listen. I've done talked about German chocolate cake. But according to what I read in this parable, in this lesson, there was one item that is mentioned that has to do with food. You know what that was? It was called a fatted calf. I came in the other night, and of course, two of us, sometimes we cook, sometimes we don't cook, and that's okay. I don't fuss at the woman about not cooking. But I came in night before last, and Lord knows what I snacked on and nibbled on and ate on and ended up with peanut butter and crackers. And my wife said to me, she said, it's hard to fill up on junk, ain't it? I said, it's okay. Hey, as long as you can get full. But I'm going to tell you something about a fatted calf. That's the best they are. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like all that fat. That's what makes the meat good. I've eaten some of that Holstein beef that you needed an extra set of teeth to eat and a sharp knife to cut. Amen. I've eaten some of that. You have too, probably. I've eaten some of that, man, it just melts in your mouth. Didn't need a knife, just a fork. Amen. Had that marbling about it, you know, little fat pieces throughout it that you didn't have to eat that. But it sure makes that. I'm talking about a fatted calf is what's talked about converting a frog. You know what a fatted calf is? He's not one that's jerked up all of a sudden and slaughtered. But he's one that's put up and he's fed and he's fed. And he's fattened, and he gets broad across the back, and he gets wide across the rear. Amen. I've got one right now. I'm fixing to take to slaughter. Probably one of the prettiest I've ever raised. And the fatted calf. Amen. I mean, I'm not short on what I feed him. I want him to eat all he can get of the best thing I can feed him. I mean, you know, that's right. The fatted calf. Man, I tell you what. When you get hungry, What's better than a big old steak and a baked potato and then a salad that's got all them greens and eggs and croutons and bacon bits and yeah, eat you a mess of that, you won't be hungry. Amen. I tell you what I like better. I like a hamburger that's fit on one of them great big old buns. Amen. Onions, maters, mayonnaise, mustard, pickles. Amen. Please don't leave off the pickles. I like them kind when you put them in their mouth. Hallelujah. But could I tell you something today in reality? As an 18-year-old boy, I felt so hungry. I felt so empty. Oh, I felt so dissatisfied and weary and worn. But oh, praise God, I got a taste of the bread of life. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. When Jesus talks about the bread of life, man, I'm glad I got satisfied with the bread of life that Jesus gives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, neighbor, aren't you glad? There's forgiveness. But neighbor, there's a satisfaction that the Lord gives when you come to Christ. Amen. That's right. Then thirdly, he found fellowship. Amen. You see, this old boy thought he had some friends. And he probably, I mean, it's not in the parable, but he probably had some friends along the way. You got money, you usually have friends. But he came to a point that he was broke and hungry, and where in the world is his friends? One person said, if it costs you a dollar to keep a friend, keep the dollar. Amen. That's not real friendship. But Tim, I'm glad there's a place called Emory Heights that's been home to a lot of people. And I've been here just about long enough to call it home myself. In fact, I told them about a year ago, when I get ready to leave this world, I want you to plant my body right out here among the rest of this crowd. Amen. And maybe, well, I won't be hearing no preaching and singing, but down here anyway. But this is home. But oh, yeah, this is home. But I'm glad this place is a place that when you come back, you can find some love and some fellowship. And somebody will say, boy, good to see you today. Amen. Somebody say, man, sure love you. Amen. Somebody will look at you and say, how you doing? Amen. Hey, neighbor, I'm telling you, glory to God, this old boy come back home and he found some real, genuine fellowship. Maybe that's what church ought to be. Amen. That's what home ought to be. God pity a world that don't know much about home. God pity a world that don't know much about home. A troublesome world out there, is it not? There's trouble at the workplace. There's trouble on the busy highways. There's trouble at the schoolhouse. It's a troublesome world. Home should be a place of refuge and a place of peace. Amen? That's right. He found fellowship. Say, where do you get that at, preacher? Well, it said, and they. It takes more than one to be they. And they began to be merry. Now, there is a word. It's called reveling. That's not a good word. That's a bad word. The word revel or reveling means a wild, merry-making good time. I don't know what's wrong with being merry. I don't think there's wrong with having a good time. But when it gets wild, it's out of control and it's not of God, and certain things could happen that don't need to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you what I hope happens today. I hope some folk really enjoy just being here today. I hope I hear people laughing. I hope I see people smiling. Now, I don't smile much, but if I ever do, it ain't fake. You can count it real. Amen. I like a little laughter and a little joking and a little fun. Amen. In handshake this morning, I told Brother Jason a joke while the rest of you was talking about whatever yours was talking about. And I told Brother Jason, I was aggravating him about sitting by Mary Lou's, what I was doing. And I told him about the elderly couple that was out, you know, and they'd been seeing each other for 6 months or so. And the old man getting serious about it all. And the old woman wasn't real serious. So they was out on their little stroll and date. And the old man said to her, said, "Why don't we just get married?" And she said, "Why, who in the world would have us?" Amen. Thank you for laughing. It's corny, but it's pretty good. So you did get to laugh. Could I tell you? There's nothing wrong with just, just having a good time. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I mean, there's reason to have a good time. Man, I remember them old times. John T., J.T., I remember them old days, don't you? Yeah, I do, brother. Amen. Hey, they'd have meeting, revival meeting, homecoming day, church services. Old-time preachers would preach, give an invitation. Folk come, hit the altar, praying, crying out to God. Hey, them old saints of God raise them heads and shout. Somebody said, "I don't believe in it." Hey, I know you don't. I ain't never seen it out of you and don't expect to. But I still believe in it. Amen. It's real. There was joy. There was marriage. Hey, there was fellowship around home that day. Amen. Sons, come on. But sad to say, so sad, sad to say, there was the elder brother. And you'll always, I reckon, just about every time, you'll find I've lost that page, but he found another elder brother, and I had a word that started with an F, but I forgot what it was. But I'll tell you, always fault finders. That's it. That's the word. What about that? You're always going to fault find. People have always been self-centered ever since the fall of man. Cain was a self-centered person. What was wrong with this guy? He's self-centered. He said, "Man, I've been here. I ain't missed a service. Man, I've been here every day. Look at my hands. Look at my record. I've served you faithfully. You wouldn't even as much as kill a little old kid goat, so I gotta have a part." How many times has jealous church folks said, "Never did that for me"? That's what he was saying. In essence, that's what he's saying. Man, you never did nothing. Could I say today, irregardless of what people say, you need to enjoy the Lord. You need to enjoy forgiveness. You need to have peace. And you ought to come home to the Lord today and let him forgive you. Let him cleanse. Just bow our heads. I'm done. I wonder. How is it with your soul? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Is it well in your heart today? Have you, like the prodigal, drifted away? Maybe you didn't get as far down as he got. Maybe not as far away as he went. But you know what? In reality, the far country can be on the front row seat in the church house. The far country can be the front row seat in the house of the Lord. Oh, friend, out yonder, out of fellowship, out yonder, thinking nobody really cares. But he came to himself. One day, he came to himself. And in essence, he says, what in the world am I doing here? Am I there at my Father's house? There's bread enough and to spare. Plenty to eat and me here hungry. Could I say with the Lord, there's satisfaction, there's forgiveness, there's peace. I love the old songs, the old hymns that are filled with meaning. In reference to the cross, one songwriter said, there's room at the cross for you. He said, though millions have come, there's still room for one. Hallelujah, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, dear one, there's a place at the table for you today. Amen. That's right. Said put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. You see, friend, certainly we are to be servants of God, but we're more than servants. We're God's children. Oh, how he loves you today. I really sense that somebody, the Lord's speaking to you. You ought to just come this morning and say, dear Jesus, you've never failed me, but I've sure failed you. You ought to come today and ask the Lord to forgive you. Receive his grace and mercy and love. Leave here today with a purpose of life. Leave here today with joy in your soul, knowing that your sins are forgiven. Would you come, Father, bless the invitation today. Please help folk to respond. There may be someone that's drifted far, far away. Help them to make their way to an old-fashioned altar of repentance today. Turning their life completely over to you and allowing God to give them this wonderful peace. Father, help them, I pray. In Jesus' name, I ask every favor. Amen. Amen. As we stand, God speaking to your soul, why don't you come? Why don't you take courage and step out? Come to God today. Would you do it while we sing? Father, thank you for liberty today. Thank you for the wonderful grace of God.
Far away,
thank you for the help you give us, Lord.
Depth of
thank you for this homecoming day.
Tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song.
Lord, help us today. Bless her heart, dear Jesus. Help her life, dear Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
From the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.
In somebody else want to come, won't you step out? What a golden opportunity to get back in fellowship. Would you come? Would you come? God, speak into your heart. What a blessed thing that the God of heaven has so designed us that he can communicate with us. And we can communicate with him through his word, through his spirit, and us to him through prayer. Won't you come and communicate with God today, would you? Another verse, Brother David, would others come? Would you? Would you come?
Holy what God. A treasure I have in this wonderful peace. Buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure.
Thank you for coming. I hope everybody will stay for, I call it dinner. I was raised in the country. We ate three meals. We ate breakfast and dinner and supper. And I still eat breakfast and dinner and supper. But anyway, whatever you want to call it, it's time to eat. And I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Now we'll have the blessing when we get in the next room. I want you to let our visitors, make sure you get our visitors in the front of the line. And our senior folk, get them in the front of the line. Then all of us younger people will fall in pursuit. Amen. We'll have the blessing in the next room. Thanks for coming. Hadn't it been good?